I need to share just a little bit about me, okay? Well, I love the expressions my wife gives sometimes. When I started preaching, they had pallets on the floor. Y'all know what a pallet is? They just put the babies on the floor on a pallet. They called them Baptist pallets, but I think Church of Christ and Methodist and Pentecost and everybody else had those. And babies laid all around crying. Didn't bother me a bit. Didn't bother me one bit. I just plow on through. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, but distractions bother me. They really do. I kind of lose my train of thought. And that makes it difficult to preach. So, you know, I'm a firm believer. Now, I want everybody to listen, okay? I'm a firm believer in first chances. So I want to tell you, now, if your actions out there distract me, you'll have one chance. So when I say one, you'll know there are no more chances, okay? And that'll help me a whole lot. If you just sit there and look at me, I made my way through college doing that, just looking at the professor. And they thought I was listening. You don't want to listen, that's your business. But if you, well, just a word of warning's wise to the wise, okay? Now, okay, Christmas, golly. This happened, and Peggy, Lorena, and I had the opportunity of dealing with this guy in Bedford, Pennsylvania. At first, the parents tried to ignore the screaming man at the mall telling their children they were being lied to about Santa Claus. Then it became clear, he's not going to stop. Kids, I want to tell you today that there is no such thing as Santa Claus. The man tells the people waiting in line for Christmas photos at the Westgate Mall in Amarillo, Texas. Santa Claus does not exist. The Christmas season is about Jesus. That's all true. Every bit of it's true. You know, and you could soon join sway with this guy, except we knew him in Bedford, Pennsylvania. And Bedford, Pennsylvania is one of those places that has festivals all the time. And he had a little trailer, and he pulled it early in the morning down on the main drag, and it had a little pulpit. And he would get in that little pulpit on the main drag, and as people came by, he said derogatory remarks about them, such as he would call women prostitutes because of the way they were dressed. He pastored, now here, get the, he pastored a Southern Baptist church there that when we got there no longer existed as a church. The building was there, but he wore his military camos and wore a big knife. And he threatened the treasurer with that knife, and the treasurer left. I wonder why. He would, in his sermon, to demonstrate, he would turn and run and kick the drywall wall and kick holes in it. The reason he did that in Bedford was when they ran him off the main street, he sued the city for $10,000 and got it. He moved from Bedford to State College, did the same thing. And from State College to Groundhog Day in Punxsutawney and did the same thing. And then he moved south to South Carolina, and they didn't sue him. Some guy whipped him. And I've not heard a thing from him since, until he shows up at Amarillo doing this. And I would dare say, if we get the whole story, they ran him off in Amarillo, Texas, and he'll sue Amarillo, Texas. But you see, we have, and he focuses on a point that's very legitimate and very clear. We have transformed the birth of Jesus Christ to a guy in a red suit and a white beard. And there's more emphasis on gifts than there are givings at Christmas time. Logic says we ought to want to focus on giving because, listen, God gave his only son. Now, and that moves us into this statement that I want to preach about. It's all about Jesus. Come on, folks. Christmas is all about Jesus. In fact, it's a Mass for Christ. That's what Christ Mass is all about. Established by a strong worldwide denomination, they established Christmas with a guy that now has been escalated beyond the point of Saint Nicholas. And Saint Nicholas has evolved down to Santa Claus. Okay. Here's another article. It was in yesterday's paper. Oh, yes. Assad compares rebels' defeat equal to the birth of Jesus Christ. He evidently holds the birth of Jesus Christ in low esteem to say that he overcame 500 rebels, and that compares in importance to the birth of Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus. If you want to turn in your Bibles to a very familiar passage of Scripture that you're all aware of, if you want to turn in your Bibles to a verse of Scripture, chapter 1 in the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 28. Chapter 1 in the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 28. Now, would you stand to pay tribute and honor to the precious Word of God as we read it? I will be reading from the Revised or the New King James Version, okay? Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God, by the way, that is 6 months after the announcement and the pregnancy of Elizabeth. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. By the way, interestingly, a point. Both Joseph and Mary's lineage went back to the house of David, as was prophesied long before Christ was born. And note the emphases. By the way, there is one translation that says a young lady, not a virgin. I think there is a distinct distinction between a young lady and a virgin. And it's particularly so since it was prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin. Verse 28, and having come in to the house, the angel said to her, "Rejoice." Now, the story that's going to unfold is kind of difficult in the beginning to see the point of rejoicing. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. That's point enough to rejoice. Amen? When God, you're in God's favor, listen, you're blessed. God is with you. Blessed are you among women. By the way, this does not infer that there's any sainthood granted here. This is a young lady that God has found among the young ladies of that day in the race of Hebrews, called Jews, who was righteous in God's sight and could be counted on and honored. But what's the story? And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and considered what manner of greeting this was. That is, she was saying, "Why is he saying this to me?" Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he'll be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I do not know a man." She could have said, and some translations say she said, "I have never known a man. How can this be?" And the angel answered her and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, an auntie really, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now the story goes on, but that is sufficient for us to say, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ Jesus. Christmas commemorates, for whatever it's worth, probably not this time of the year, commemorates the birth of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, will guide our thoughts, and will lead us as we attempt to bring forth a word that will turn men's hearts to God, to you, to Christ. Bless us. May we understand the word. We've heard this story so often. It is very familiar to us. But may we see in it that which you know our hearts need this day. Oh, may we hold Jesus in high, high reverence. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He is our Forgiver. He is the one, our only one, way to heaven. And we love him. And we praise him, and we wish nothing else but to honor him in our hearts and in our minds this day. Thank you for being with us today, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, be seated, please. Can you imagine the life of this young lady? Most commentaries say that she was 14 or 15 years old. If she had been any older, Joseph would have already married her because that was the custom of that day. Whether or not she lived at home or whether or not she lived with Joseph as an engaged woman, which was not uncommon. It was not uncommon for a woman engaged to a man to live. He may have already paid the bounty for her to her folks, and she had moved in. At his house, we don't know, and it's not relevant. What is relevant is that this young lady, and by the way, this will be reflected when we see what she says when she visits Elizabeth. This young lady has a relationship with God to the extent that God can call her righteous, as he does many, and God can send a a messenger? By the way, let me just stop for a moment. Have you considered the activity of angelic activity in that particular season? Remember, Gabriel, same dude. Well, I should not be so disrespectful. Gabriel, an archangel from heaven. One of three. One of two now. There is a third one, but he is busy doing something else besides being a heavenly angel. Visits Elizabeth and Zach. Now, there's a 9 months time period there when he visits Zacharias, and then right after he visits, of course, Elizabeth, and then 3 months, no, 6 months later, I'm sorry, 6 months later, he visits Mary, same angel, same high archangel. And all of those have different reactions to Gabriel's visit. So let me ask you, if you woke up in the morning and there was an angel in your dining room with a cup of coffee, that's a joke, with a cup of coffee for you and says, "Good morning," what would your reaction be? Now, let me take another little break here. Now, I'll get a response from you, and that's okay. Most of you think you have a guardian angel, right? A lot of people refer to their guardian angel. Now, as far as the scriptures go, there's only one segment of our society that has guardian angels, being the kids, the very young, who have not reached the age of accountability and are in, and I'll borrow a Catholic terminology, they are in the age of innocence, and they have a guardian angel. The scripture says that their guardian angel watches over them. Now, let me see if I can supplement that argument with this. You have, folks, listen, the moment you got saved, that time when you asked Jesus Christ, you remember? You remember that? When you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sins and live in you a life that you have not, now you may not have, I didn't go that far when I got saved. I got on my knees in an altar in a little country church and acknowledged that I was a sinner, and that has to happen. And then I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of that sins. I confessed him as my Lord and Savior before the whole church, which was the practice of that church. Now, I want to tell you something. You don't have to confess before church. You may not have gotten saved in a church, but with a heart, Paul says in the book of Romans, with a heart you believed unto righteousness, and with a mouth you confess Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "He that confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." So, you see, there is implied an anxiousness about you to share the fact that Jesus has come into your heart and been your Savior, become your Savior, and that your life is committed to him. Now, in process, from that time when I was 14, I think I was 14. But anyway, from that time when I was 14 to now, I've come to the realization that I also invited Jesus to come in and live in me and I invited him to take control of my life. That's what it's about. Now, where is Jesus? Class, this is a question, oral questions always like, because I can wait on somebody else to answer. Where is Jesus this very moment? Sitting at the right-hand side of the throne of God, the Word of God says, making intercession for us. Our mediator, one mediator, the only mediator, not Mary, not saints, not anyone else, not apostles, only one, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's our mediator. He's our advocate with the Father. When Randy said this morning, Lord, Jesus elbowed the Father. I don't know that he elbowed the Father, but Jesus said, Father, that church, through Randy, is speaking to us this morning. Hear him. If you don't know Christ, and should you come down to this altar and say, Jesus, come into my heart, Jesus is your advocate with the Father. He said, Father, that one, a dirty sinner. Well, you don't look like you think you're a dirty sinner. Well, in the sight of God, you're not. You have the very righteousness of Jesus Christ in you. And that's your hope of glory, says the Word of God. Okay, but a sinner is crying out, Jesus, Father, crying out, and we're going to forgive them. I will stand in their place. I paid for that on Calvary's cross. I died a perfect human being. By the way, there are no others. Amen? Well, let's just, on the count of three, I want you all to say amen. One, two, three. Amen. Okay, good. You got that down pretty good. Okay, now, but here's Mary, visited by an angel. We have the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself in us, represented by the Holy Spirit, and He, according to John 16, was sent for this purpose. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. If you miss this, you may really be fouling up. He is sent to teach you, to convict you, to convince you, and to lead you in all righteousness. You know what you'd be without Him? Stumbling in the dark. But, oh, listen, it is so important that you understand this and that you get acquainted with Him to the degree that He speaks to you. Hail! I heard it. Hail! Favored one. Now, if you don't think you're favored, let me tell you something. You've missed the mark totally. You need to be saved. God gave you eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. Eternal life. Isn't that a favor? Men who are, well, even old rich man Trump would spend every penny he's got if he knew he could buy eternal life. And you got it just out of the grace of God Himself. Amen. Now, and Mary's reaction is, what's going on? You know, there are times yet when the Holy Spirit of God speaks. And I wonder, what is going on? You ever wonder what God wants you to do this for? You know, and now if you listen real closely, when you ask, now why in the world does God want me to do this? You may hear this. You may hear this. None of your business. Listen carefully. If God spoke to you today and said to you, what I'd like for you to do as a demonstration of your love and obedience to me is roll a peanut down that aisle with your nose, you'd be honored. Did you know that? Anytime you can serve the Lord Jesus, anytime you can exalt the Lord Jesus, anytime you can hold God up as holy, you definitely are blessed, blessed, blessed. Now, remember, Mary is human. By the way, Joseph is human. And she's got a story to tell now. Do you reckon Mary has any idea what the reaction is going to be to her story? Well, are you thinking about it? Let me give you an illustration that's going to embarrass Peggy Loreen to no end. But she'll live over it. She's good at that. I was 18 years old, and had an invitation to come to Detroit and play baseball in the Industrial League. Oh, my. Here was a dream being fulfilled. Golly. It couldn't be any better than that. So on a Saturday afternoon before I was to leave on Sunday, everybody went to town on Saturday where we lived back then. They probably did in Huntington, too. I told Peggy Loreen that I was going to Detroit. And she said, I'm going, too. Well, now, that just can't hardly be. Well, she said, I'll hitchhike up there. I'll find you. Can you imagine a country girl out of the cotton patches of Arkansas finding anything in Detroit? On the way to help another couple get married over Mississippi, they just put the pressure on me, just hounded me about, you two get married. and so we did, and left for Detroit. We came back. I'm just telling you how people react to things, you know. Here's Mary, a 15. I'm going to make her 15 now. Here's Mary, a 15-year-old, showing. We came back 3 years later, and, of course, wanting to see all the old boys, I went to the little country store, which I was a part of for the long time, and right off the bat, Will Pillow said, did you have a boy or a girl? Dummy, I can't have anything. Well, did Peggy Loreen have a boy or a girl? Listen, the assumption was, because it spread through the country, that we got married. In fact, they told it this way. Peggy caught TB. Now, TB at that time was a dreaded disease. I don't know how she felt about it at that time, but anyway. Now, the assumption was, is that she was expecting a child, and we took off. Because that happened more frequently than it should have. Not with us. I stayed red-faced for the longest. Slapped every time I turned around. But the assumption was. What do you think the assumption was when Mary got back from Elizabeth's house, and now she's showing? Don't you know that Mary knew that? Now listen to Mary. Knowing that's kindly the concept or reception she's going to face, you know what she says? Be it unto me, even as the Lord says. Folks, are we that committed? Are we in that relationship with God that whatever God says, no matter the consequences to us, we are willing to do what He says? Oh, listen to me. How different, how totally different this church, any church would be if we just simply said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, let me run off some very, very unessential circumstances. I dare you. I really don't know about tonight because we're going to have a dinner. It'll be easy to come to church tonight, won't it? But maybe still, Lord, Do you want me to go to church on Sunday night? Have you ever asked him that? I have. A time or two, we had to threaten to be the only people in church, but we was going to have Sunday night services because the church was voting not to have. Lord, do you want me to go to church on Wednesday night? Dare ask. Lord, I need that training they're doing down at church on Wednesday night. Now, let me suggest to you, if the Lord says, no, you don't need that training, ask the Lord. Lord, do I need to be one of those doing the training? Dan won't fuss about that, will you, Dan? Shake your head like this, man. He already doing it, okay. You see, listen, whatever we do, we ought to be inquiring of God and listening to the Holy Spirit for the answer. And then we will say along with Mary, be it unto me, even as the Lord has said. Amen and amen. Well, we could go on and on. I do want to finish this now. I want you to look. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And together, Elizabeth and Mary rejoice together. If I can find it. That's Zacharias' prophecy. Well, suffice it to say, I think it's in Matthew and I'm looking at Luke, but anyway, suffice it to say that at their coming together and as God is leading in their lives, here's the point I want to make, they rejoice. And listen, folks, when we come together, now I want you to hear this because I'm going to make a confession. It's one of those confessions without a box in front of it before you all. I have probably not done you well as pastor leader of this church. I have put a strong emphasis, and you are aware of it. I have made a strong emphasis on this church growing and prospering and ministering. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all wrong with that. But let me tell you one more time, it's not about New Life Fellowship growing. It's not about New Life Fellowship being organized. It's not about New Life Fellowship doing as I want it to do. It is about, that's right, it is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And you see, I am determined that from this time forward, I will not try to convince you to make New Life Fellowship a better church. Nothing wrong with that. But I will do my very best to lead you to loving Jesus Christ and placing Him in that place of renowned newness in your life, that He brings glory and honor to God. That will be my focus, regardless of what I bring to you. If I teach tithing to you, it will be for Christ's glory, not the church. If I teach obedience to you, it'll be for the glory of Christ. For you see, it really is all about Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing an invitation hymn.